Tell you the story about when Kenia and I went to on tour and went to the Holy Land, and we were in Jerusalem. And you know how on those tours, when you get out, the people are waiting there to sell you their wares. And the word back in 1980 was dollar, because that's what they would charge a dollar. And there was one particular fella that kept on bugging me, wanted me to buy one of these lanterns. And he said, you know, you need this. You need to carry it back to your country so they can see. This dates from the time of King David. And he kept, and I told him I was not interested. Finally, I turned around and said, $1. Oh, I can't believe you, something from the time of King David, and you only give $1. But he quit bothering me. And that was what I wanted to do, to be able to go on. But many things happen. It's amazing in the scriptures, as you pay attention, and sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, about the sense of judgment that is there. In many of the parables, like the one for today, so many biblical scholars have said the story about the five foolish and the five maidens talks to us about the end of time, the parousia, the eschaton, the coming of the end of the age. It's in judgment of where we are now about being prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When will Christ come? In seminary, one of the first jobs I got was to work at the YMCA, work with the Gray Y program. And in this, I went to a school called Sarah Smith. It's in North Atlanta now, which is all grown out that way in Atlanta. And I would take these students, fourth graders, and we worked through three different seasonal things, football, basketball, and baseball. And one Friday afternoon, little fella came and says, I won't be here Monday. I said, well, why not? But, you know, we'll be here. We're going to be practicing. We need you. He said, well, the world's coming to an end, so I'm not going to be able to be here. And there were many predictions that you have heard many times of the world coming to an end. Not even the angels in heaven know, but God knows if he's decided that this is the time to send his son come back, and he will welcome all those of his disciples, and judgment will be upon everyone. Now maybe this scripture speaks to that. Listen as I read it out loud and see what you hear. This is from the 25th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 maidens who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight there was a cry. Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those maidens rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other maidens came also, saying, Lord, open to us. And he replied, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, if the end is coming, the end of time, how shall we spend our time and what do we need to be busy about doing? How we conduct our lives? What are we to do as people who live in this year, 2014? What are we to do? Five wise, five foolish. Where do we see ourselves? Now, a wedding was a big celebration in the communities. It was huge. I mean, it cannot be emphasized how big it was because there wasn't that many things that happened. But a wedding feast was really something. In fact, those who were studying the Torah, the law, remember in this community, that's lifted up very high. The Torah, the law, the beliefs, reading the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch, it might be called Pentateuch, meaning five, first five books of the Old Testament, Matthew, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. If you're reading those books and studying them, then you have the way that God should want you to live. But what was it? What was happening? This wedding, and so everybody was given time off from studying the Torah. You're going to a wedding feast. I mean, to get that reprieve from not having to study the Torah, that was a big deal. And doing some of the other religious celebrations, it was called off because you were going to a wedding feast. And everybody wanted to be there. The wise and the unwise. And after the bridegroom came, then they went into the dwelling and the doors were shut and no one else was allowed in. So you can see how disappointed those five maidens were. Maybe that says something about the judgment of God. Those who are wise and those who make preparation, those who prepare will be taken in and the door will be shut and others may not be there to get in. How do we make our preparations? How are we to live? We live in a year in which there's many things going on in our life. Through radio, television, and through the punching of tablets, and through whatever else of mechanical means that we have to stay into contact with other persons. How do we stay in contact with the creator of the universe? What's our best source? The Disciplined Order of Christ was an organization that was set up many years ago, and it was headed up by a minister who was at that time was at Eden Street United Methodist Church, and he was a big mover in that. And the Disciplined Order of Christ, it had a little book that you read. You talked about prayer. You read about prayer. You studied about prayer. And you practiced prayer. They used to have their meetings in the summer at Brevard College. And they would have different speakers to come in. Thomas Kepler was one that was there the summer I was there. The Fellowship of the Saints, which is a book about this thick that he had written, talking about the practice of being a disciple of Christ, of preparing, of being into relationship and communion with God. All of these, we had what we call as, I got together with another young fellow there, I was young, and he was from Cincinnati, and his father was a minister. And we talked about, you know, having to have this discipline order that at the gathering that we had around a big fountain, we would have a prayer that night around that fountain, and then from then until breakfast the next morning, we did not speak to each other. Now, you know, that is tough on a teenager. I mean, enduring. It's hard. But The day before we left, he came up to me and said, "You know, it means something to me now to be quiet and to think what God wants me to do with my life and to pray my prayers to him in the Benedictine silence, those hours." We can all pray, and it's something that, well, in fact, we do a lot of it when driving sometimes, don't we? I mean, prayer is something that can be a natural kind of evoking of our lives and asking for God's assistance in whatever we do. We can pray for each other. We can pray for the life and ministry of the church. We can pray for people on the other side of the world. We can pray, I mean, we don't even have to have any clubs or anything. We can do it just with our minds. Maybe you pray that way. You have special prayers that we do it within the community of faith. The Lord's Prayer, you well know. Sometimes we even pray the 23rd Psalm. Prayer is a part of our life, and it is one in which it helps us to live out the life that we are the people of God and to give witness to it. So prayers are very important. In my reading this past week, I ran across this I thought was very good. This is a rabbi, and he's writing, and he's talking about prayer. He said, "When someone comes to me and they pour out their troubles, I open my heart, and their sorrows come into my heart, and they make a scar. When I get to pray, I open my heart to God and say, 'Look at all these scars.'" He has shared with another human being his hurts. And when he prays to God, he said, "Look at all the scars that are on my heart because I have heard and I have suffered with them in their time of hardship and trial." When we share deeply with one another, Bonhoeffer says it's like talking to God. We're sharing on a level that is deep, that is long, and is lasting. When God is in the midst of all of it, prayer is a way that we can live out our lives now. And we can use the Bible as a source of strength for us. There are passages that are familiar. There are psalms that we can quote by heart. There are passages that mean so much to us. We can use this as a source for helping us to live our lives now. And it is amazing what can happen when we take time to listen. As a student in college, we had a group that we called the Kappa Chi's. This was a fraternity of sorts, but it was all those who were planning on going into full-time church work. And we used to meet and sing and pray together. And these people in Kappa Chi were people who were interested in being ministers, and many of them went on to be clergy persons in several annual conferences. And it was through our prayer time together that we shared, and we worshiped as we searched the scriptures and as we shared passages of scripture that touched our hearts and lives and that gave us strength to go on even though we had an exam the next day or that we were having a difficult time with a girlfriend or whatever our troubles might be, or our parents were sick, and whatever it might be, we shared passages of scripture that were foundations to us in our faith and helping us to be the people and to do it now that we might prepare ourselves for the life to come. When is Christ coming? No one really knows except the Lord. And if I was the Lord and somebody guessed the right time, I'd change it. You know, how are we preparing? How are we preparing now? Because we have many people that are offering these dates, you know. How are we prepared? We can do it through prayer, through the scriptures, and when we are in Christ. Christ wants to be in our lives, and he has died upon the cross for our salvation. He wants to be inside of you and to be a part of you. Borden Parker Bounds was a theologian out of Boston. And he taught a theology of personalism. It's a personalism, he says, that people have and their personality, and they can radiate the grace of God through who they are. But unless we have the presence of the risen Christ within us, we won't be the person God would have us to be. God wants to touch your life, to be in your life, and to absorb your life, and to let your life radiate his peace and his guidance and his love. We need to give thanks today for Christ always seeking to knock on that door, seeking to come in and to worship with us and to guide us in our time here on earth. We know not when the end may come, but we know that God, whom we love and know, is in control. And that should give us a lot of strength. Thanks be to God this day, that as we work to be the people of God, that God will be with us as we live in him and as he seeks to bless us always. Amen.